News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're starting hour two like we often do here, and it's the El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance page. And her topics today includes El Pasoans discovered touring in the family car on Sundays.
Taking a Sunday jaunt. With the introduction of the automobile to El Paso at the turn of the century, a new weekend travel craze hit the roadways. In 1918, local newspapers even reported on Mondays the details of this craze, referring to it as automobiling. In the beginning, a favorite Sunday afternoon diversion after church was to load the family into their auto and take a leisurely drive down to Ysleta, where they would stop in at the Ysleta Country Club for refreshments before making the long trip back to El Paso. As El Pasoans became more venturesome, Sunday trips now included Fabens, Waco tanks, and sometimes the Brave would drive all the way to Las Cruces. Soon, families would begin making cross-country excursions, better known as auto camping or gypsying. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
Melissa just got in a car. She's driving away. I don't know where she is. Oh, there you are.
Yes, I was just gypsying around town. Yeah, no, that was fascinating how they used to, how that went from there. And you should have seen the old ways. They used to build trailers, and they would go out camping. It was
My grandmother did that because as a kid, she used to get in a car, put me in the car, and we'd go do it again. And in my time frame, it wasn't as interesting.
Oh, I used to do it. I used to go weekend trips all the time by myself. I'd have to drive to San Francisco and do a weekend trip up there.
But the Alameda,
I like being on the road.
The Alameda's with the big cottonwoods over both sides of the highway. I remember.
Oh yeah.
And I think those are all gone now.
Some of the first freeways were sort of patterned on that idea, right? They were sort of like garden freeways. So the Arroyo Seco in L.A. it goes from downtown L.A. over to almost Pasadena. It doesn't go through Pasadena. It goes up to...
And it ends in Pasadena.
So there's that northeast. Voice is Cito Negron.
There's northeast, L.A. that has...
I got to do that like it's a lower third on television, you know. we got one more announcement to make about the 62,000...
Oh,
no, that's all right.
Oh,
you're good.
We're getting
you got us going.
Here.
No, we're off on a tangent.
A
why
topic.
Not? Whatever.
No, but we can't forget to mention this, the show's great partners, and that's Great Partners in El Paso History. And that's the El Paso History Alliance. They have a great Facebook page, which is a great source of historic pictures, and preservation information managed by Max Grossman and Mark Stone. And the oldest Facebook page on El Paso history is Remembering El Paso When, with thousands of pictures, stories, and more, managed by Barbara Given-Bainey, who leads this great team of editors on the page.
She's also known as BGB. But she's the chief administrator. Margaret Smith is on that. Rick Duncan, Paul Lowy, Ken Weiss, and Craig Hayes. They do a great job and a wonderful job. They get paid so well. Not. That's a volunteer thing.
And those are great resources and really well worth stopping the tangent.
Oh, yeah. I dug some pictures out of that one for the show today.
Yes, and we have the Freeways for the People
site. And we have the Freeways for the People Facebook site so that you can kind of follow current discussions, trends, national concepts, national ideas, things that are happening locally as well as
Cito Negron, Dr. Miguel Juarez.
Yep.
I'm just putting your lower third super on. Actually, Andrew can do that, I think. But anyway, no, you can't. Never mind.
So I'm not 100% sure, but to relate it back to El Paso, so you have the Arroyo Seco Freeway that goes to northeast L.A., Highland Park area, Eagle Rock, those
beautiful
places.
Beautiful areas, yeah.
Lovely, right? But it was built for cars that go 35, 40 miles an hour. I wonder, because Mesa also is a state highway, and so Sunset Heights really is like the first suburb. Right, but it was more of a streetcar suburb because it was so close to downtown, right? And automobiles weren't as widely used. But Kern Place, right, that was built in the 20s, 30s, I think, right?
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. Yes. So So that really was more analogous to some like Brookline, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston, right? The Highland Park in L.A.
Similar.
By the way, we have a Highland Park neighborhood here in El Paso, so that must have been popular. Yeah, Dallas has Highland Park. But the point is like, so the first iteration of freeways were sort of these jaunts. They were, you know, they were...
Not that far.
Mostly...
Tobin Park. Tobin Park? That was a ways out of town, but he had a train.
So mostly... upper middle class people who could afford the first automobiles and would take pleasure jaunts to or from their neighborhoods or down Alameda to the valley, those kind of things.
Well, Isleta used to be a destination. You did a history moment not long ago.
For 4th of July, they used to go down on train. They used to take the train down there.
They'd go down there and party all day long, come back in El Paso.
On the train and have a fireworks display when they got back to El Paso.
And now San Eli is doing wonderful things with its history and becoming a destination as well.
We should do that everywhere you can because El Paso is just full of history. And mostly we don't know that because we're not taught that as children in high school or middle school.
Or how cool it is.
Yes. And in the last segment, we're talking about the Kessler Plan. The Kessler Plan actually included some these kinds of roads that Cito is talking about.
Okay, back to your story, Miguel Juarez. You had an announcement you want to make about today.
Yes, today.
What are you doing today?
Today from 12 to 2 or 3 p.m. we'll be at Bassett Center at the entrance to the cinemas next to that record store. We're asking people to come and sign what's going to be a 7-foot by 70-foot banner.
Oh.
That's going to be in fabric banner that's going to be installed across from the Healing Garden.
Escarte?
After you go into Escarte, you go turn right, and that's where the banner is going to be. We're going to hang it Monday, but the Healing Garden is a project by the county judge, and it's his project. He's built a really beautiful memorial to the 23 people who were lost on August 3rd.
So it's inside Bassett Center today, inside the mall?
Yes, inside the mall. It's going to be inside the mall. We're going to be there.
Near the movie theaters?
Yes.
Okay.
No, not near the movie theaters. We're going to be there by the record store. There's a big area there, and people can come sign their sentiments, and this is actually being done for the families.
Yeah.
Because we want to remind the families that we haven't forgotten and they're not alone.
2 years ago.
Right.
This coming week, yeah. A lot of history there, not necessarily good history, but there it is. Okay.
It's history,
The idea of Interstate 10, that's where we started this conversation. Miguel, did you get out what you needed to talk about on the history? Next thing is to buy your book.
Right. Well, next time, it's currently being, it's going through the review process right now, and I'm waiting to hear from them. And then they're offering me a contract.
Yes. It's in process.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Very good.
Well, will you self-print if you don't get the contract?
Possibly. Actually, you know, my dissertation was online. I asked to embargo it because I wanted to publish it, but the person at UTEP didn't get that message. So it was up for 2 years. It was downloaded over 200 times.
Wow.
People already read your book.
Right. People have read parts of it.
So you guys got to give us a good review if you ripped off Mike already.
Well,
it was public then.
Well, I added an additional chapter to the revised manuscript titled Eminent Domain in El Paso, 1880 to 1920.
Oh, but that was interesting.
Because it was happening. Back then, they were building a levee, and people's homes were bought via eminent domain. The European Americans got hundreds of dollars. The Mexicans got a dollar for their home. Mm-hmm. So this is a process that has been going on for many, many years.
Maybe we can correct some of that, but in the meantime, let's not. The whole idea that TxDOT now wants to expand I-10, make it fatter, not so much longer, right?
Right, and before I get to that, I think you know, Dr. Juarez, that's super important what he said, right? That the evolution from the raw, just you know, these guys get $100 and these guys get a dollar, right?
Yeah.
To the more sophisticated ways of making that same thing happening through redlining, right? So again, these iterations of history where similar things are happening.
All right, take it one step further.
In a more sophisticated way.
The politicians are now being bought, and they go with the highest dollar.
Right, right.
That's another problem.
Well, I don't know that. I don't know that that's something that's not ever all really changed. Not all of them. Not all of them. But not I don't know that. I don't know that that part of human nature has really changed. So what you were saying is the idea is to make it wider and bigger, right? Because highway planners and highway engineers think in terms of capacity. They don't think in terms of induced capacity, right? So we've built this incredible huge system, but it's very, very one-sided, very, very lopsided, right? So if you look at cities like New York or Chicago that were built with this infrastructure that has multiple modes, right? A car is basically a 2,000-pound person made out of steel moving at 50 miles an hour, right? Because 60 miles, 80, whatever. You know, they've done studies of people and how they walk, right? I think his name is White, a famous urban planner, did these seminal studies in New York where they basically put up monitors and they had people watching how people walked. What were they doing, right? Like if there's a building that has a planter and the planter has a ledge, people would sit on it. Well, maybe you don't want people sitting in front of your building, right? So then you put little spikes in it or something like that. So there's so many, but there's so many levels of detail, like thousands of levels of detail in how you can plan that little space around the behavior of people. And the behavior of people, of course, is infinite, right? So they try to categorize that behavior of people. How fast are they walking? What are they looking at? What makes them stop? All of those things, right? So cars come along and you've already kind of built a city infrastructure with wide sidewalks.
A lot of concrete. Walk here.
But lots of wide sidewalks because people are walking. Subways because people need to move around in mass quantities, right? And now cars come along, and so you built a system to incorporate cars into that existing infrastructure, into the way people live. Post-war, you end up building only for cars. You stop building for people. Only cars, right? So the newer cities in the suburbs, they don't have wide sidewalks. They have to have sidewalks because that's already sort of baked into the consciousness. But the sidewalks don't really serve a purpose because they're very narrow. They cover.
I drive on them.
Right.
Never mind.
So for the last 75 years, the prevailing mindset has only been we're building for cars. And so that builds on itself. It induces traffic. Right. And then they use that to justify more traffic. And so that's one thing. The other thing that's happening is they create complicated formulas that only a very few people understand that inevitably tell you we have to have more capacity or else traffic's going to be at a standstill. So one of the things they're using to justify widening the highway is to say if we don't in 20 years, traffic's going to be virtually at a standstill. Well, it doesn't make sense because I looked at the traffic reports. You guys do traffic reports. Everybody does traffic reports. I just urge everybody, listen to the traffic reports, look at the traffic reports. There's almost never a problem downtown, right? The real problems we all know is Mesa Street and I-10, right?
Goes from the wide freeway down to two lanes.
But also, it's not only because of that. That's part of it. It's also because that's where the people live. Yeah. That's where the growth is taking place. So we might anticipate those patterns to change, right? But they're not going to change that much. Downtown El Paso is not likely to have 50,000 new residents, right?
Right.
It might have a couple hundred, maybe even a couple thousand, but that's not going to significantly change those traffic patterns.
We only have Mike here for a few more minutes, so get your 2 cents.
Yes, and also historically, people lived close to where they worked.
Yeah.
They walked to work or took the trolley. The unfortunate issue in highway building is that it's a very technical, they use a lot of technical terms, planning terms, engineering terms, and the average person doesn't understand even when they're invited to the public meetings.
Right. Yeah.
The plan's already, it's already done.
Yeah, it's like
it's already done.
I want your input.
Right, yeah. Right. And so even the process now, it's very technical and it's lopsided. It favors the people behind the project that wanted to get built.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Well, and it's very important. It just relates to history, right? So one of the very critical components of planning a major highway project is NEPA, National Environmental Protection Act, right? And so the spirit of NEPA was meant to bring the community into these discussions and help the community have a role in planning. But what happened was it's completely flipped upside down. So NEPA becomes a series of checklists that at are so technical, as Dr. Quad has mentioned, that only very few people understand them. And once a highway department completes the NEPA process, it justifies their project. And the only way you can kind of fight it is if they missed a box on the checklist, right? As opposed to the spirit and the purpose and intent of the NEPA in the first place, which was
input.
To hear the community and have
input.
That input,
yes.
input
yes.
and make changes based on that input, right? Now the only way you can make changes is if you catch them making a mistake on their checklist.
I've been to those meetings. You've been to those meetings?
Oh, yeah.
Last
thoughts from you because you got to go.
And I want to give you a very specific example. In the 30s, in the Lincoln Park neighborhood, there was a rock church called El Calvario. Judge Samaniego was the altar boy at the El Calvario, the rock church built by the citizens. In 1966, the NEPA process was established. But in 1969, El Calvario, the church built by the people, was torn down. Did they tell them that the NEPA process was there? No. So that church could have existed, but they didn't tell the Father Pacheco or the people. and in 1969, how, you know, there weren't that many people that could explain what was happening. And it was a historical church that should not have been torn down to make way for a highway pillar.
Oh, yeah. So got to go right there. Well, Dr. Waters, thank you for coming in. I know you got to run to this your event today.
Yes.
But we're going to have a seat all to ourselves here coming up after this break, right? Taking a break here in a minute. And Dr. Waters, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Throw the number out just for the heck of it.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
If you're a local business owner, you know how important it is to be here for your customers. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson runs a small business in El Paso, too. And Ralph Dickerson's here to help you protect your small business. Give him a call, 915-581-0000. Or come by his office, located at 497 North Wrestler, Suite A, right at the corner of Wrestler and Orizaba. Stop in today. Call 581-0000 for State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
It's been called the new socialism, more and more lawmakers suggest the goals of which are universal basic income, free health care, free college, and more. Now, every night this week, Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax pushing back on the new socialism, AOC and Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden's spending programs are already costing you proposed trillions as inflation is soaring. If you care about your money, you need to watch Rob Schmidt tonight. Find out why socialism doesn't really work and how it actually can cost you a lot. Get Newsmax TV on all major cable systems. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them and demand Newsmax or you can switch. Also, find Newsmax for free on most streaming systems like Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. Or download the free Newsmax app on your phone and watch it anywhere. More than 30 million Americans are tuning into Newsmax because it's news they can trust.
Attention, men and women. There's breakthrough news from the world's distinguished Mayo Clinic about a powerful discovery for your brain. Huperzine A is an advanced ingredient clinically proven to increase the levels of neurotransmitters in the brain. Introducing Neuroxin with Huperzine A, the next generation brain booster available to the public in a limited supply without a prescription. Finally, a daily dose of mental performance that will skyrocket your concentration and enhance your memory like never before. Remember the movie Limitless with the secret pill that stimulated the brain and vastly improved one's lifestyle? Well, it's here. Just take Neuroxin and within 60 minutes, experience an incredible clarity and focus with no harmful side effects. No more forgetting important dates and events. Call now and find out how to get a free bottle to experience this firsthand.
To find out how to get your free bottle of Neuroxin, call 800-605-9618. That's 800-605-9618. Free bottles for a limited time, so call now. 800-605-9618. 800-605-9618.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got to let you know who's coming in here next week. We're going to focus on Socorro, Texas, the Socorro Mission, and an historic farm called Bodega Loya. It has a new farmer's market with over 100 years of farming history. Also hear about the history of the Socorro Mission. August 14, we got Patricia Kidney coming in explaining the secret society of John Wesley Hardin and the commemoration of his demise, which will be actually, they're going to hold a ceremony in the cemetery on August 21st this year at Concordia. Patricia will also describe several other projects at Concordia. We got Bernie Sargent coming in here on August 21. He's back with a description and explanation of several El Paso County historical markers and the history that went with it. They denote history during the Mexican Revolution. And it got August 28th, we got a famous mural coming in. I'll talk about that. September 4th, celebration of our mountain. A lot coming up here.
Oh, I know. Well, you got the world's largest classic film festival has started and will run through August 8th, and it will be held at the 1930 Movie Palace, El Paso's Plaza Theater. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, go to plazaclassic.com. And so we want to welcome back the annual 14th annual Plaza. I can't talk now. We welcome back the 14th Annual Plaza Classic Film Festival.
Yay.
Jay Duncan will host some special films at the Plaza Classic Film Festival, The Pink Panther, which is one of my favorites. That will be on August 4th at 6 p.m. And Pinocchio, another great classic, the cartoon, Walt Disney cartoon, and that will be Saturday, August 7th at 6 p.m. So, again, tickets are on sale now. Go to the plazaclassic.com.
You're going to be there front row.
Pinocchio
would be huge, man. If you get in the front row.
Pink Panther was my favorite.
Oh, man, that's a lot.
Pink Panther is amazing. Maybe we ought to just talk. We can get Philippa to call in, maybe, and we can talk about the Pink Panther for
3 days on that one. Well, Cito Negron's here, and Miguel Juarez had to leave. He's doing his mural thing out there. Sign it in Bassett Place today. If you're going to go out there and sign it, and it's going to be put in the memory garden, the memory area. It's scary, apparently, so.
It sounds like a beautiful project.
It is.
It really does.
All right, Cito, we are also looking at the potential for downtown El Paso to be coming quite materially changed if TxDOT does what they want to. I was just mentioning to you something maybe to look into. Out near the old Pat Goff area there on San Marcial Street, just before Piedras, between Piedras and Copia, the businesses in there have already said that they've been notified that they're going to lose their entire businesses right along the gateway.
Well, that's news to me. So the original concept of this was that they would take all the property, TxDOT would have taken all the property east of downtown fronting Missouri Avenue. So there was about 100 properties, more or less, I think we had identified when our neighborhood association looked at it initially. This was about 2 years ago, a little more than $100 million worth of property value. I kind of suspect there was a little bit of a bait and switch there, because at the same time, TxDOT was talking to the railroad. So I think they knew, and you know, these projects take a long time. And so this really downtown, you know, some of the folks at very, very high levels who look at this stuff had been looking at this for more than 10 years, right? We had the comprehensive mobility plan, which created a loop system around El Paso. And so this was always on the radar, I think, for a long time. And so the original concept as presented was for that property to be taken for the gateway. But at the same time, they were talking to the railroad, because the railroad has a bend just to the west of downtown that they would like to straighten out, because, you know, the railroad has a calculation for every mile per hour they either make or lose X millions of dollars.
And their center went out in the desert in New Mexico now.
There's a major center out there, yeah. So you know, for a long time, and Mayor Ray Caballero, for example, had the concept of a central park using the rail yards. Not a unique concept. You know, I lived in Las Vegas, and at the time in Las Vegas, they had a mayor who also had been a criminal defense lawyer and, you know, very, very
similar
smart
dude,
guy.
Yeah.
Actually knew our mayor. But anyways, They had the same thing. They had a rail yard in the middle of downtown Las Vegas that the rails vacated, and so the city was developing it. that didn't pan out, obviously, but there's, you know, the railroad is making some property available, a thin strip of property available, so that the highway can jog a little bit south once it gets east of downtown.
The railroad, they negotiate from a power position.
They negotiate from a power position, and the railroad's not necessarily interested in land deals, right? Because they don't really need that. That's not their core business. But what they are interested in is making their movement as fast and quick as possible. That's why they have, you know, the quiet zones through certain El Paso neighborhoods, right? A quiet zone is essentially either you close the intersection or you put the forearm bar there so that cars can't sneak through.
They can speed through there pretty good. We got to take a break here. Sito Negron is here with us. And Melissa, how's Facebook looking over here?
Busy. We've got, in fact, I just was talking to a gentleman that was on here. It's Calvin Williams has joined listening to the show, and he was wondering about how long you and I had been on the show. And I was telling him, you know, you were 19? Is it 20 years?
I'm in year 21.
21. I screwed up. Sorry.
It's one of those numbers.
And I'm going on 11 years, so he wanted to know about that. And we have, let's see, Calvin Williams. We had Marshall Carter, of course, is still on.
He's asking, what is the purpose of the construction on Montana?
I haven't gotten ahead of me.
I'll talk about that, too, that they're building a highway. They're building,
double deck.
We have to warn you, Sita, you can't hear it because you're doing it, but when you do that, it gets into headphones. Remember what I told you about how these mics are wired to the table?
Oh, and another thing, you've got Christopher Morales. I'm glad I tuned in this morning. I feel like I have a little connection to this part of my hometown history. My dad, who passed away this past March, came back as a Vietnam vet in 66, and he got a job right away with the Texas Department of Highway. So that's as a drafter. That's cool.
Guy from Tucson talking to us.
Yeah.
Daniel Lehman. All right, taking a break.
So many stories.
Oh, there's a lot. Yeah. You know, the reach on Facebook now is a bit bigger than just 690.
Yeah, ask me when you come back. Ask me about the half house that everybody can see on Sunset Heights as you go around the bend through downtown.
Oh, yeah.
The half house used to be a half something else, but that's a different subject. Okay, taking a break here. Coming back in just a moment.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
iHeartRadio Earth is here with a new way to enjoy our beautiful planet. Energy consumption is a primary contributor to a changing climate, producing around 27% of greenhouse gases in the United States. Save money and energy at home by turning off your computer completely before you go to bed. Brought to you by iHeartRadio Earth and the National Environmental Education Foundation. To find more tips for smarter, sustainable living, or to take action in your own community, go to iHeartRadio.com/Earth.
Cosa Buick GMC is the home of $77 down on any used car, truck, or SUV in stock.
$77?
Yes, $77 down, and Cosa Buick GMC has access to more than 600 used luxury sports economy and over 20 banks to get you the best available financing. You can even buy here, pay here with La Casita Finance.
Every vehicle comes with a 6-month, 6,000-mile warranty.
What a great truck! Use 2020 Ford F-150 XLT 4x4 Crew Cab, $47,699 too to choose from. Cosa Buick GMC is the home of $77 down on any used car, truck, or SUV in stock.
Cosa Buick GMC, Montana and Airway by the airport.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Census Bureau, so call now. 800-735-8360. That's 800-735-8360. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-735-8360. El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-05. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Speaking of Melissa Sargent, what do you think about this? This Week Only in El Paso Inc., find the latest in El Paso business news?
Well, a pediatric surgeon and his wife, a producer in Hollywood, are going to sit down with El Paso Inc. to talk about their big move to the Sun City and healthcare in the region.
Also in the Inc., why one former state legislator and El Paso City representative is mulling a return to public office and hopping mad about property tax appraisals.
Why ATV accidents put off-road safety in the spotlight.
El Paso's business journal is El Paso Inc. It's available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night at 10:35 p.m., host Saul Sines talks with newsmakers about stories in the borderland. This week, Saul talks about the monsoons of the summer and taking a look back at the professional and broadcast career of retiring National Weather Service meteorologist and KVI alum, John Fawcett.
They called John the singing weatherman because John often brought his guitar to work, and John went on to write and record a host of original music, including the beautiful tribute to our fair city, The Arms of El Paso. That's Sunday on ABC 7 Extra at 10:35 p.m. after ABC 7 at 10.
All right, Cito, can you sing that song?
No.
I can't either. I have no idea what that sounds like.
I've heard it. I've actually heard it.
Is it good?
It's okay, yeah. I mean, it's like one of the many songs that have been written about El Paso. He did a good job.
Everybody tries to copy Marty Robbins. And even Marty Robbins tried to copy Marty Robbins.
His isn't a copy of that kind of style. His was a whole different story. So,
but
I really
did the fame of that song.
Oh, yeah.
And even Marty did it. Remember the one from 30,000 Feet I See the City Below? That was Marty.
Well, and Pat Garrett's daughter wrote one back in the 30s that Woman's Club commissioned her to write for El Paso.
Paso. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. There's about a good 30 seconds in there. But that's another matter. I was going to play all the songs one day, and management said, well, you really got to clear all the rights for all this. Oh, I can't do that. Anyway, they're out there. Cito Negro. We're talking basically the history of I-10 with Miguel Juarez, who had to take off and do his project today. But Cito, you and I are originally discussing the need for a look at this downtown thing. You've got TxDOT proposing in one thing where they're going to cover most of downtown with parks and the freeway goes under it. There's a lot of cities that have done that.
Right, so that's sort of partially accurate. There's a 6-block area that's called the Trench, right? So somebody actually was thinking about this stuff back in the 60s, right? So while east of downtown just got this, big, giant, ugly freeway with big ramps and all of that kind of stuff next to neighborhoods, at least downtown they had the foresight to dig it through in kind of a trench. It's called the Trench, right? It's the technical term for it, and it's crossed by, I think it's 9 bridges total. But really,
like Stanton, Mesa, Oregon, all
yeah,
that.
And then but there's also the Prospect. There's a ramp that kind of curves off of Kansas, so Kansas crosses it twice, so what one proposal is, and this is kind of intertwined with the whole highway widening. One proposal would be to put a deck over the 6 blocks. Right now, most recently, I've found out that it wouldn't even be the full deck. It would be a partial deck, right?
In
so it would be
way?
Like 1 or 2 blocks, however much, they're able to get the initial funding for, and then they'd create a TERS around that area where it's a tax increment zone, which means that the money generated in that area would go back into it. So what they're trying to do is create the real estate speculation to increase property values so that they can take the increment of it and then use that to pay for future segments of the deck park.
Right. On Facebook, you can see it right now. We have the picture of the plan, and it shows where the decks, like you said, they aren't solid.
Right,
all
so
the
that's
way
not
through.
The deck, but that's like what it would look like with no decking at all. And then there would be a and I don't know if we have the picture of that that shows, the partial decking. And of course, they always draw those pictures with lots of little green dots on it to make it look much nicer, right? Those are supposed
trees.
To be trees.
They put in trees.
Right, and whether or not those trees ever get planted is unclear. You know, the deck concept has a lot of problems with it that you could look at those things as historical reconciliation in some ways, right? In some places, that's not the case in El Paso. In the case of El Paso, basically a deck would be a developer-driven amenity. It might be a very nice thing to have, and it might be a successful project in terms of increasing the value of development in that area and existing properties in that area, but it's not equity, it's not environmentalism, it doesn't do any of those things.
What's on the deck? I mean, these only
whatever you can afford.
No, but can
to
you sell
it.
Buildings? Building space?
Well,
spaces?
It's being like park and open
space. Yeah,
spaces,
well, it's very interesting. I mean, right now it's being pitched as park and open space, but a deck is very, very simply put, it's three parts. It's the piers, it's the structure itself, which is a complex system that has like ventilation and fire suppression,
yeah,
electricity, all of those kind of things, right? And then whatever you put on the top, the amenities, right? So if the deck is built strong enough, then I don't see why you couldn't put a building on there. I know that, 6 or 7 years ago, one of the Mountain Star executives talked about building a deck over downtown to put the soccer stadium, right? So I haven't heard anything about that since then. That was a news report from like 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So I know it had that idea, well, at least had been floated, but I don't know if that, from what I've seen, that's, you know, that hasn't been mentioned in the current.
Paul Foster
discussion.
Wanted to put his parking lot across the railroad tracks. That did not happen. Mm-hmm. But that was one deck I remember.
Well,
that
another one also is you've got right here in Juarez, where they put a deck across Avenida de Septiembre.
Right, that's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is the Avenida existed, and so they dug they put a little mm-hmm. bypass and dug through there. That's pretty progressive for Juarez.
Yeah, I know.
So one of the concepts, like I mentioned, and it gets very technical. I don't want to bore your listeners with too much technical detail, but I'm going to start, and then you cut me off if I get too technical. One of the things
that's
that
too technical. I'm kidding.
I used the number.
All right, Sita, I won't interrupt you. Go ahead.
So they're required. The highway department's required to quote look at alternatives. Right, that's part of the process. And so, two alternatives they had to the concept of widening and frontage roads was one reconstruction as is, and then another one was tunneling the entire thing.
Oh boy!
From I think Piedras to around the bend over to Schuster.
Oh my!
Right now, how progressive would that be? Of course. They put a number next to it, $2 billion, which sounds like a lot until you consider that similar projects, our project is a 6-mile stretch, right? So similar projects in Austin and Houston are being funded at like $7 billion each, right? So why isn't El Paso worth the best project we can get? But you know, in some ways, I hate to say it, it's a little bit of a sham, right? Because we never saw any detail from TxDOT on what those alternatives were. In fact, the County Commissioner's Court voted to submit a comment to TxDOT asking them formally to carry forward for further study those two alternatives.
Yeah.
And TxDOT came back and said, no, those aren't viable. So we're only going to be studying widening and frontage roads. Now, if they change their mind, that's going to be fantastic. And it's only going to be because of pressure from the community.
What's going to happen at Sunset Heights?
Because that wasn't their intent. So generally speaking, what's going to happen is there's going to be it depends on what they end up with. But from the maps, the most recent maps we've seen so far, there are property takings throughout the stretch of the project, right, which is Sunset Heights and then east of downtown, take somewhere between 19 and 35 properties.
Oh, yeah, he's got that picture up there now, yeah, upper right-hand corner.
Okay, so that's Yandell, right? So what that shows is the trench, the 6-block area, and you know, the red part is Yandell. So all the properties on Yandell, like the Pearl Apartments, the Holocaust Museum.
Gone?
Well, I don't know if they can take, for example, the Pearl Apartments. The Pearl Apartments historically designated.
Yeah.
So I don't know what type of protection that gives it or not. But based on the maps, and that's a map from one of their earlier iterations, but the more recent maps also show that potential taking.
Wow.
So
it'll be three lanes each on each side. Is that what?
Well, it is now. Like? It would be, they'd add a fourth lane.
A fourth lane. Okay.
Right. And then they would turn what's now a city street into more of a frontage road. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So there's.
Yeah.
There's a lot of level of detail. But I think it's important for people to understand, despite any changes that TxDOT might make, they started out with the worst possible alternative. And anything they do is going to make that less worse. So it's not going to make the project. It's not. They didn't start with the best possible alternative, and then see what the feasibility might be. They started with what would be the most impactful for neighborhoods.
And what about Sunset Heights? What's going to happen?
So in Sunset Heights, what it looks like is because the maps they show don't have elevation, right? They look at it from the top down, right? So you can see from the top down, there's that curve, and what they would be doing is bringing, right now in Sunset Heights, it's ringed by Main Street. You know, Main Street goes around the edge of the neighborhood, and there's a part of the neighborhood where the Sunset Grocery is, right, that's at grade with the highway. And then Sunset Heights itself starts to rise because it's on the it was the first hill outside of downtown, right? And then the highway itself is like whatever the elevation is, 30, 40 feet below, 50 feet below. That's very significant because when we're talking about air pollution and the impacts on people, you know, the lower it is, the less noise it is, but also the less air pollution. So air pollution has mass, right, especially like 2.5 micron particles. That's a EPA designated pollutant, and that comes from tailpipes and tires. So cars produce that. Trucks produce hundreds of times the amount that cars do because of the size of the engine, because they use diesel, because they have much larger tires.
Yeah, more tires.
Pulling weight,
all of that stuff. So as far as we can tell, what they would do is they would turn Main Street into like a frontage road, a freeway frontage road, and then they would elevate it. So it would be wider, and it would also be busier, more traffic, and faster traffic, traffic that's not currently there now.
For example, PDX Printing, who had moved out of that building, what would happen to their old building at Porfirio Diaz?
Well, so that's now a neighborhood coffee shop, right. and there's a church, and there's also a business in it, so it's a multiple-use building.
They'll be blown away?
No, that would. But what, you know, now that cars come off, there's a freeway exit ramp, right? And it's sort of very low intensity, except a couple times in the morning when all UTEP students are coming, right?
Oh, boy.
So that would turn into, they would get rid of the Porfirio Diaz exit, right? And that Porfirio Diaz bridge, and that would become a much more intense ramp. So cars coming off the freeway wouldn't slow down there for that stop sign. They would just be going through as if it was a frontage road in front of a mall or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So it basically increases the amount and intensity of traffic. So it brings more noise. It brings more pollution.
Yeah.
Drops property values.
It drops the property values for those properties that are right next to the highway there. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. All right, taking a break here on the El Paso History Radio Show. Cito Negron talking about the first hour. We had Miguel Juarez in here talking about the history of I-10 and how it got here. He did his dissertation on that.
Fantastic.
That's turning into a book. That's going to be an interesting book. I think he should have an eye on I-10, but that's just me. He's going to call something else. Anyways, Cito, you got a book coming up? You got to write a book.
I don't have any books coming
you
out.
You need to write a book about something. Ah, geez. Yeah. All right, taking a break. We will take a call here,
yes,
but
we will.
The phones
been
are working.
Quiet today. It's 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm Home and Auto Insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Right now at Wendy's, get a Dave single plus another great item for just a buck more. It's Wendy's BOGO $1. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be used in a combo or with other offer.
The Sentinel Group sponsors this paid advertisement for legal services and is responsible for legal services. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. 800-399-5446. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation. Call 800-399-5446. 800-399-5446. That's 800-399-5446.
Celebrate the return to Live for 5 days only. From July 28th through August 1st, get $20 all-in tickets to see your favorite artists. Supplies are limited. Go to LiveNation.com and see what's coming to your city.
Newt Gingrich here, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Newt's World. Most people know me as the former Speaker of the House, but I'm also a historian with a wide range of interests. I enjoy talking with experts in their field and the most interesting people across a variety of subjects. I release 4 episodes of Newt's World every week with an effort to excite the imagination of our audience, and hopefully you'll learn something new each time you listen. Listen and subscribe for free to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We have been announcing a couple of weeks here about the tour downtown, Segundo Barrio, Max Grossman, and now Bernie Sargent's part of that as well. It got sold out, but they're doing it right now.
Yep.
And they're down there. Is he going to make it to Pepe's?
Oh, yeah. He'll be there afterwards. Because the tour started at 9, so okay. I'm sure he'll kill off everybody by about 11:30.
they had opened like 80 positions. They ended up over 90.
Over 90, yeah. And it kept growing. It was like,
And it's a fundraiser for Segundo Barrio and the church there, the renovation. Yeah. So that's all going on. Just to let you know, report on that it's a happening thing there. What do you got?
And you can watch the monthly episode of KTSM TV Channel 9's Borderland Treasures as they focus on the architecture and history of the popular dry goods company building that is located at the northeast corner of San Antonio and Mesa. The building was designed by the iconic architecture firm of Trost & Trost, and the Popular was built between 1916 and 1917. There'll be original and historical photography and interviews with members of the Schwartz family who owned the Popular. And Borderlands Treasure is a collaboration between Preservation Texas and KTSM 9 News and is funded by the El Paso County. So go to ktsmtv.com for more information.
Seat on the ground. We got some funding questions that we're talking about, and then maybe we'll talk about Montana question on Facebook.
Right. Yeah. We got the funding questions and two things we want to do, and hopefully Andrew will keep us on track here, right? One of them is...
he'll cut us off.
Well, hopefully he'll remind us. He did a good job with those pictures there. But two things really quickly, right? So Montana, yes, TxDOT's turning Montana into a bit of a highway, so they're building a kind of a highway parallel to Montana, and then there'll be some overpasses to get over cross streets. So you've seen some of the overpasses that go over the cross streets there, right? So more of that over there on East Montana. As far as the funding, should I?
Let me break in real quick. But Bernie, what's the deal?
Yeah. Okay. It's going to be about 2.5-hour trip instead of 1.5 hours. I will be at Pepe's, but stay tuned because this was such a success. We'd like to let everybody know that we will be doing more of the same and different. So just stay tuned.
Thank you, Bernie. See you at Pepe's.
Okay, you're welcome.
You take it easy.
Bye.
A report from our reporter. Go ahead.
Yeah. And on the ground live report is
man
awesome.
Man on the street.
But you know, I mean, I would have gone if I wasn't doing this. I probably would have gone to that.
Yeah,
it sounds like
great
a fantastic
tour.
Event. So the funding of this is really key. And so there's some public meetings coming up. There's one on Monday where TxDOT's going to hear public comment on their funding proposals.
When and where?
It's in Austin. It's at 3 o'clock Austin time, 2 o'clock El Paso time. But you can follow the Freeways for the People Facebook page, and we'll put information on there.
Freeways
for the People
on Facebook.
On Facebook, Freeways for the People. And so what TxDOT did was offer El Paso this funding scheme where it's not funding the project completely. It's putting like a down payment, and I'm not exactly sure what the number is. I think it's somewhere around $67 million.
We're going to lose whatever, I'm sure.
The project is pegged now at $750 million. That's a final. I don't know how they arrived at that, right? They haven't designed it yet. supposedly. So, you know, I don't know how they get to that number. I'd seen previous estimates of a billion. You add the deck park, you know, TxDOT's, some of the costs that TxDOT's going to incur will be extra if they build the piers for the deck park, right? So I'm not sure how they get that number, but regardless, what it does is it soaks up available funding for the community. You know, there's extra funding available, but what TxDOT's making clear is one way or another, they want the community to pay for this.
No.
Right? Not all of it, but they want the community to pay a substantial part of it.
In Houston and Dallas, the TxDOT pays for it.
But in Houston and Dallas, TxDOT pays for it. And you know, the thing is, you get mixed messages. Partly they say, oh, it's not about El Paso, right? It's about the importance of the corridor for national trade. Well, if it's such an important corridor, why aren't they paying for it?
Yeah.
Right?
Because we're El Paso.
Because we're El Paso. And then there's other thing. Like, I mean, really, I don't think the community's had a chance to really understand the data, the underlying assumptions they make, because they don't like to do just maintenance. You know, we all know that the pavement is terrible. Right. All over El Paso, whether it's city streets or whether it's the TxDOT highways, the pavement's terrible. And that puts a cost on people who drive. Right. Because it's your transmission,
your tires,
well, everything. Right?
Are you going to have any kind of seminar or public meeting where people can come ask you questions and figure this out? Because you seem like, you know, you're a funnel of information. Is there a place people can come talk to you?
You know, I guess I'm pretty public. They can hit me up on Facebook. I mean, you'll go find me on Facebook and send me a message. Cito Negron. That's my Facebook profile, and just send me a message.
Because not everybody's Facebook friendly.
Right, not everybody's Facebook friendly, and we have freeways for the people. You know, people could contact me at firstname.lastname@gmail, cito.negron@gmail, if they, you know,
cito.negron@gmail.
Yeah, cito.negron@gmail.com. You know, I'll do my best to answer questions that people have, but yeah, we should probably have, you know, some kind of public events to
let us
the
know
community.
We will publicize it for you and
thank
with you.
You. Thank
and Cito, it's been an interesting discussion here, but I-10 being a major part of El Paso, I love the idea of making most of the truck traffic go through Anthony Gap. I don't think they're going to like that because they have to go up a hill and spend some more
it's
gas.
It's not much of a hill. I mean, they don't like Trans Mountain. That's for certain because of the grade. But
that's too high. Yeah,
the Anthony Gap is
that's doable?
You know, quite passable. Yeah, that's one reason why New Mexico is expanding, and so they're expanding their side of it.
There's a possibility right there.
So it's happening there.
Interesting stuff. And we thank Miguel Juarez, who was in here earlier talking about his thesis for his dissertation, and it's going to be interesting when it comes out as a book. He went back way to the 1800s about the path coming through El Paso. I think it's fabulous. And Cito, thank you for doing what you do, and good luck with Sunset Heights. And when they expand it, oh goodness, you're going to be there with a protest flag, I'll bet.
Well, I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll do our best to make it better.
Thank
not,
you for
not
being,
less worse. Make
thank
it
you for
better.
Being here. Melissa, let's go to Pepe's. What do you say?
I'm heading to Pepe's.
And our thanks to Andrew J. Polk in the control room there, Monday through Friday. Talk El Paso. There he is with the bell, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Check that out. Otherwise, we're going to come back next week and do this again, shall we?
We shall be here.
We shall be here. See you at Pepe's if you're going. Thank you. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Thank you for joining the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.